Christmas. And when you think about love, what do you think about? What do you think about when you think about love? Relationships, okay. Anyone else? What do you think about when you think about love? We talked about love in Sunday school once again. What do you think about when you think about love?
Family.
What's that?
Family.
Family, yeah.
Caring for that person as other.
Okay. All right. Love is absolutely essential. It is who God is. Now, we don't know a whole lot about God, but we know that God is love, the Bible says. He is love and he is truth. So we know those two things about God. And this Christmas Eve, as we think about God in the scripture that I just read, Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, while there was nothing lovable about us, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on our behalf. And that's the reason why Jesus was born. He is the embodiment of love. So love came down, right? And God's gift to us is baby love. Now, isn't baby love great? Unless you have to chase him around, right? But still great, yeah. Isn't it great? Yeah. And you guys look so happy. There's nothing like baby love because, and why? Why is baby love so cool?
Yeah.
Baby love is so wonderful because it's unconditional. Pardon my connecting with this, but we have a little puppy. It's not quite the same as a baby. Pretty close, yeah, pretty close. So when I think of it, he's our baby. And sometimes he gets in the way. He's only 5 months old. Some of you have met him. And I step on him sometimes, you know, because he gets in the way. And he goes, ah! I'm there, oh, I didn't mean that, right? Or you go to pick him up by his legs, and that hurts him, so he yips and so forth. But you know that crazy dog? The minute you put him down, he's wanting to jump up on you again. He totally forgets, you know, the hurt that he just experienced. And so very, very much like a baby, right? And that's what's really cool about baby love and God's love. God's love is exactly that way. The baby's love for us is sacrificial. Now, it's one thing to love. And by the way, what's the greatest commandment?
Love God above all things, and your neighbor as yourself.
To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And then Jesus goes on to say that love others as yourself, right? And so love is the greatest commandment. And the second greatest commandment is to love others as yourself. Now, how many of you love yourself? Nobody. How many of you love yourself? Okay, Bob's willing to admit that. You know, it's a little bit difficult to love ourselves sometimes, isn't it?
Amen.
And we all have our issues. We all have self-esteem issues and so forth. And so we might say, well, you know what? It's hard for me to admit that I love myself. But, you know, we do love ourselves because what? We take care of ourselves, don't we? And we do the things, essentially, that we want to do. Many times, even sin. Because we're going to do what we want to do. So we do love ourselves. Now, when we love ourselves, how does that translate into loving others? Anybody want to venture an answer to that? If we love ourselves, how do we love others? Did we give them grace? Did we give them forgiveness? Right? No matter what, and the little one is agreeing with me, wherever that is. But Christ's love is sacrificial. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, there was nothing lovable about us, Christ died for us, as I quoted, right? This baby's love is also selfless, selfless. Unlike our love, even of ourselves, our love is many, 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 many times selfish, right? We want what we want when we want it. Now, I don't know about you, but this time of year causes me a lot of angst because whenever I go to the store, I have to wait in line. Any of you relate to that? Some of you are smiling, yeah. You know, how many of you love to wait in line? Nobody's hand went up. Eh? And, you know, I just hate it. And then when you get up there, they make it so difficult, you know, with the, you know, ways you pay and all this kind of thing. And it's not a fun experience. Why? Because I want to get in there. I want to get out of there as quickly as I possibly can with what I came to buy, which many times is not available, right? And so it creates all kinds of stress this time of year. Because of what? Because I'm selfish. I want what I want when I want it, and I want it now. How many of you can relate to that? How many of you are not being honest? Right? But Christ's love is selfless. It says in Philippians chapter 2 that Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient. Now, Jesus emptied himself. What does that mean? You know, when I was in seminary, we spent a lot of time discussing that one word, emptied. What did Jesus empty himself of? There are those that would say that he emptied himself of his deity. And that is completely, 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 completely heresy, right? What Jesus did, and the word in the Greek is called kenosos, kenosis, and what that means is that he chose to give up the position that he had with God himself. He chose to give that up and to say, you know what? I'm not going to sit on this throne with my arms folded and do nothing for God's people. I am going to humble myself, empty myself. I'm not going to claim my deity. I'm not going to claim my priesthood. I'm not going to claim my kingship. I'm going to come to earth. I'm going to give that up by coming to earth. And then it says, by taking on the form of a servant. Now again, when I was in seminary, we did some work on this kind of stuff too, right? And what the word here means, the servant means, that he is a servant by choice. He chose to be a bond servant. A bond slave. Now, if you had the choice to be a slave, would you be a slave? Deb says no. Would you be a slave? Why not? Too much what? Too much work involved, okay. Well, we know where Aubrey's coming from, right? Misery. Yeah, and we would be forced, right, to do things perhaps that we didn't want to do, and we would be indebted to the master, whoever that would be. They would own us. They would rule us. We would have no voice, all this kind of thing. See? And to become a slave at this particular time in history, it was, well, you've seen TV programs, perhaps, that display what it would be like to be a slave. And Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to come and be, I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose. Not that it was, you know, he was taken captive and said, you're going to be our slave. No, he said, I'm choosing to be a slave. For you. For me. Why would Jesus, King, ruler of all creation, why would he choose to serve you and I? Why would he do that? Love. That's why. That's why. You ever wonder about God's love? There it is. He chose to love you so much that I'm going to come and I'm going to serve you. See? Now, there used to be, in many churches years ago, ceremonies of foot washing. How many of you familiar with some of that? Yeah, yeah. And has anybody washed your feet? You wash your own feet, right? But have you ever had somebody wash your feet? Have you? What kind of experience is that, Caesar? If somebody washes your feet, what kind of experience is that?
It's pretty humbling.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing more humbling than to, I mean, I don't know if you've ever said, I'll wash your feet, right? But even if it was my wife, you know, no, I'll wash my own feet, thank you very much, right? Because it's incredibly, incredibly humbling. And that's why there was a foot washing ceremonies within, you know, many of the churches way, way, way back when. Because it was a ceremony that said, I want you to be humble. I want to be humble. And here's a demonstration of that. Let me wash your feet. See? And humility is something that, well, how many here are completely humble?
Yeah.
Proud to say I'm humble. There's a play on words there, right? All of us need to work on being humble, right? Because Jesus was the example of what it means to be humble. And he became humble even to the point of becoming obedient. Obedient to what? The verse goes on, obedient even to the point of death. Now, how many of you would I give my life for you? See? Knowing, and I know that many of you would not, all of you, I'm going to say, would not give your life for me, because you're saying, well, why would I give my life for Al? He's screwed up all over the place. Right? Why would I do that? Right? Well, you know what? Y'all are no better than me, right? We're all screw-ups. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. We all sin. And God said, you know what? I'm going to send a baby. A baby, no less, right? And you know, that's the other thing. God could have said, you know, I'm going to send Jesus Christ on, you know, as king of the earth, right? And he's going to sit on a throne and he's going to rule over all creation. God could have done that. But he chose a baby, right? Because a baby is the epitome of humility, right? An example of humility. And that's what God chose to send to us. Now, the Bible says in that same chapter, have this mind among yourselves which is in Christ Jesus. Have what mind? The mind of being humble. Humble. This week, what would it be like if we all had each other's backs, right? If we all had each other's backs. right? What would it be like? Instead of pointing fingers or criticizing or judging or whatever it is, what would happen if we loved each other so much that no matter what, right? I got your back. Would we be different people? Would we be a different church? I'm going to say that yes, we would be, right? But that requires us to love out the love that Jesus Christ brings to us this morning. Choosing to love each other no matter what. And Al's here this morning. Michelle's here this morning. They're very good friends of mine. And we work together closely and have for years on the Turkey Federation. Al's the president. I'm the vice president. And Michelle, she does everything for us to make us look good. But Al, have we ever locked horns?
Oh, yeah.
Some of you wouldn't believe that, right? Kathy says, oh, yeah, I believe that. Kathy knows me, right? Why are we still friends, Al?
Because I love you.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, because he loves me. Now, that's coming from a guy, right? Says, I love you, Al, right? And I, you know, even though we've locked horns, I love you, you know, hey, I got your back. We're good. And that requires grace. Can we give each other grace? Can we give each other love? Like the love of Jesus Christ? Okay? This baby loves you no matter who you are or what you've done. Do we love each other? Do we love Franklin Hill, the neighborhood of Franklin Hill, no matter who they are or what they've done? You know, there's never a time, I'm going to say, that here on the Hill that we need to be sharing Christ with our friends, with our neighbors, right here on the Hill. I just found out today through Julie that one of the neighbors here on Franklin Hill committed suicide on Thursday. Is that right, Julie? Yeah. And as Eric was trying to serve this man by bringing him propane, you know, there was a man who was desperate for us to reach out in love in some way. That's why people commit suicide, because they don't feel loved. They don't feel a part. And we need, even here on the Hill, and that suicide this past week, if that doesn't speak to us, what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we coming in and just sitting here? Or are we sharing Christ with our friends and our neighbors? There's plenty of empty seats here, right? And we need to be sharing, need to be inviting people. And I know many of you invited people for tonight, and that's wonderful. We're looking forward to that. But think about, we have a message of love. We have a message of grace. We have a message of forgiveness. And that's all in you if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And are you sharing that, right, this Christmas season? And the love, and we all know this verse. We all can say it by heart. But think about it, right? That he so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever trusts in him, whoever believes in him, whoever confesses their sin to him, right? All of that will not perish but have eternal life. There it is. Love exemplified. And there is no greater love and no greater gift that you can receive than what is offered to you this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Shirley, I was talking with Shirley, I don't know, a week or two ago, and one of the things she said, you know, Pastor, one of the things you said that I never really heard before, and I thought about that as I was doing this message, Shirley. And in order for us to give, and all of you giving, this, you're probably giving something, some presents or something, right, this time of year, tomorrow, right? In order to give, think about this. In order to give, we must first be able to receive. I was going to bring a package of some sort, right? But if this was a fancy wrapped up present, and I said to Jackson, here's a present for you, and I pulled it back, right, what would happen?
He did
one of this. Okay, goodbye, right? Right? See? It's not a present until what, Jackson?
Received.
Yeah, see? Now it's yours, isn't it? See? And God has a present for all of you. God has a present for me. God has a present for you. Have you received it? Have you received it? You know, I hear, well, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe something. Oh, really? Really? Well, the fellow that committed suicide this past Thursday, he believed something that cost him his life. It matters what you believe. And you say, well, doesn't everybody believe in God? Well, I would say the vast percentage of Americans, at least, would say that they believe in God. So that means that 90% of America is going to heaven. Is that correct? No. It takes more than just a belief in God. It takes more than just an acknowledgement that God exists. What it takes is, here's the gift. Here's the gift. Are you going to take it? Are you going to live it? What does it mean to take the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ? It means that you confess your sin. You don't go on sinning, right? You confess that sin. And you start to turn away from that sin. And go in the opposite direction. And you start living a life that reflects that something's different. I have the Lord living in my life. I don't live the sinful life anymore. I don't do whatever I want anymore. I do what God wants, even if it hurts, even if it's what I don't want to do. I'm choosing to do that because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my life is going to show that. My life is going to be lived out in that way. And, you know, when I say things like this, I think, okay, you all probably saying, okay, now the pastor's going to meddle. Well, when I speak, you know, I first have to apply it to myself. And that's one of the things that the messages do for me every Sunday. It disciplines me because I have to say, you know what? I can't bring this message to you unless it's true of me. See? And I don't know as I've ever... Well, yeah, I can say I have never lived in a time when I grew up and as I was a young man, you didn't dare, you understand? You didn't dare take the Lord's name in vain. You didn't do that, right? And you didn't tell dirty jokes. And you didn't speak coarse talk amongst one another. You didn't do that. And now, boy, you know, even people that call themselves Christians take the Lord's name in vain and think nothing of it. Or tell dirty jokes and think nothing of it. You know, the scripture says, don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth. Now, I know that's tough. I know that's tough, especially when you hit yourself, you know, in the finger with a hammer, right? What comes out of your mouth? See? Are you living out? Are you living out what you profess to believe? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. See? And this Christmas, are you receiving, taking the Lord Jesus Christ into your life in the form of a baby and saying, you know what? I'm committing my life to the Lord Jesus in such a way that even what comes out of my mouth is going to be something that I'm very, very much aware of. And I don't want to let any unwholesome thing come. Can you imagine what it'd be like if Jesus cursed? Or Jesus said some of the things that, we would say, well, that's not really cursing. Well, it's unwholesome. Can you imagine what it would be like? You, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you and I need to be Christ-like. That's what the word Christian means, to be Christ-like. And this morning, if you're here and you've never really asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, I would challenge you during this time of giving to remember this. To give, you must first receive. To receive the greatest gift. Is he yours today? Let's bow our heads and pray. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you can pray with me this prayer, maybe it's a prayer you've prayed for the first time, then pray it with me. Father, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that my sins are something that Jesus paid for when he died on the cross. He was born as a baby to die on that cross for me. I want him in my life. I want to turn from my sin. And I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ from this day forward. I want to live my life in a way that is wholesome, in a way that is righteous. And that's only possible through Jesus Christ. So, Lord Jesus, would you come into my life right now? And those of us that have already done that, Lord Jesus, may we be what you have called us to be. May we be people that live out the love of Christ in our lives, so much so that it spills over into all the contacts and relationships that we have. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.